loss to the Washington Wizards, 96-90. This is going to be a tough one to come back from, and it means a lot. So we're going to talk about it.
You've come in with like a less interested intro each of the last four games. You're ready for the playoffs, John.
No, I mean, look, we knew what this one was, so we won't spend a ton of time on it. But, I mean, look, emptied the bench here. There's still plenty to talk about in terms of things that we saw today, how they, you know, portend to things that might happen in the playoffs and potentially next season and beyond. So, Bobby, I'll give you first bite at the apple here, and then I'm going to run through a few things that I think are interesting we should talk about.
Well, if there was anything to look at from this one, it was probably the play of Grant Williams. Robert Williams checked in for a little bit there in the second quarter, and Semi Ojeleye, like the three guys who actually played today who could factor into the playoff minutes because they get free reign, all that stuff. Romeo Langford, too. Who obviously got injured.
Yeah, let's whip around a little bit. I think Romeo is interesting because, as we said here, he left the game. I saw it when it happened. He went down, under the basket a little bit, kind of got up a little bit like this. He stayed in the game, and then he went to the – it obviously kept lingering, and he went – they called it a sprain, which is good because there's a lot of bones you can break in there pretty easily.
Yeah, what happened on that play?
He just he went down underneath the basket, and he just caught his hand right underneath him. And so that was it. It was just a little jam, but you saw it. Just he broke his fall with it. And then he got up and he went down the other end on the offensive end. This was on the defensive end of the floor. And this was in the second quarter, I believe. And he went down the offensive end. You could see him like this. And then it went to a timeout. And then when we came back, he was still out there. So it looked at first like he dodged a bullet. But right, you could see he was really struggling a little bit there. With it, and he wasn't super effective. So kind of twofold. This is out of control with his injuries this year. This guy, and I can't even list them all, but obviously he came in with stuff. What part of his body did he not hurt this year?
It was stunning. One of the more
he's a full scale game of operation. I don't know if you played that, but I mean
I was in on that one. Oh, didn't get the Stash Gordon one, but I got that one.
Okay.
I was disappointed with him this year. I think you were too. I think Celtics fans across the board were, given where he was picked. But there's a reason they got him where he did. This is probably a guy who could have been a top five, top 10 pick if he went into college with health and had a productive year in college. He was obviously banged up in there and showed struggles with the shot. And they got what they paid for, essentially, at 14 with him. They had to fix the shot early. I guess that's the one positive you get out of this year is that by the end of the season, his shot looked decent. But availability is king, and he was barely available this year. I think he played 32 out of 72 games in the end.
Yeah, and it's crazy, and you mentioned it is what is he, okay? And this is something I was thinking about watching the game, okay? You watch the game, Romeo gets a start, that's totally fine, and it's, you know, you expect what you, you know, you expect him to, you know, get some touches, you know, maybe lead the team in shots. I mean, right, he should be the alpha out there on this team, in this unit playing around. I mean, he still played around 30 minutes, even despite leaving with an injury, and might have been precautionary there. But you watch the game and you watch Javonte do his thing.
I mean, he had a great game.
So
career
again,
game.
Let's put it this way, okay? Let's pretend you were in a coma for 4 years. Didn't know Romeo Langford or Javonte Green existed. Woke up today and it was the first basketball game you saw. Would you know that one of them was picked 14 and one of them was undrafted? And which one would you place that tag on? Because against this competition, someone like Romeo should be able to dominate.
That's exactly what I was thinking in the first period. He's on the ball. He's playmaking here. Try to get it to Green a few times early, and he hit him once and then turned it over the other time. Then he started 1-for-2 on those drives going to the rim. So he didn't look comfortable in that position. Almost reminded me of when Doc Rivers was trying to get Avery Bradley going on the ball back in the day. It just didn't work. Right. So, you know, you throw Javonte and Romeo up there. The thing about today, and I think this describes today's game perfectly, the one guy who went off is the guy who's definitely not in the playoff plans, which is like, oh, come on. Like, it couldn't have been Grant.
Yeah, Grant's disappearance in the bubble was certainly something that was telling because you saw in the games that mattered his rotation minutes, he fell out of them. He wasn't getting them. except maybe one time. And again, that felt almost experimental when he and Cantor were playing in there. So it is interesting because you wonder what you're going to count on from him in the playoffs. Another thing that I thought was interesting was, Rob Williams. Rob, I was just about to press send on a tweet that he wasn't – that. My God, look at who hasn't played so far. It's the star Smart and
everybody
Williams.
Was chatting about that on Twitter today.
And that I was just pressing send, and he came, and then you see comes in off the break, and you see an ISO of Williams, and he was in there. I was like, oh, okay. But then he only played those 6 minutes. Then it was bench time, and it was Vinny Sexpants and Taco time in the second half. So it's obvious they put this guy in bubble wrap. I mean, I don't know if that's we're reading too much into it, but what does that tell you?
It told me that he's in the rotation, which is something we found out at this point. Yeah, 100%. And that's, we're a little disappointed with today. We're trying to make a show happen, right? But Rob Williams is, the saving grace of this 8-game stretch. They needed a guy to emerge as a bench scorer, as a bench big, and they got both of those in him, made it happen in just 6 games, and then by game number 8, he's securely in that rotation, which, back in that Brooklyn game when he first broke out, he gets sitting time in that second half when it really turned into a blowout. And even then we were like, oh, is this guy in the rotation? Is this garbage time rest for Robert Williams?
What's happening here? Right.
Yeah. So that was the development of the seeding game, was his rise. Even here, comes in first 3 minutes, 6 points. Yeah. It's like this. He gets on the board scoring against, the likes of Toronto and the likes of a Washington and Brooklyn.
Immediate impact. Yeah, the two good things I think that happened on the seeding was we saw the emergence of Rob Williams, and hopefully you're never going to be compelled to talk about Tremont Waters again.
Again, every single game, and I put this in my recap today, he goes on and makes a play where you're just like, wow, that could help. And,
yeah, great steal on one end. He didn't shoot the ball well.
The dish to Green in transition, yeah. So he doesn't shoot. The turnovers are a little high. And frankly, I was looking back at the seeding games. He was inactive in all 7. So they don't have enough seats on the bench for him probably, which is bad because if they went down 20 in a game, and now that we're going into Philadelphia, I wonder if you'll remember, they were down probably 22 to 26 in that famous game that they came back in, Jaylen Brown's huge performance against Philly 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And who was in for that comeback stretch? It was Shane Larkin and Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
And I still look at Waters, and I know other people are too, as a guy who could fill that Larkin role, but it doesn't seem like there's a spot on the bench for him. I guess you'd have to bench a Vinny, a Taco, a Green, and maybe one more to try to squeeze him in there. But I think if they could find a way to get him active, I'd like it.
Yeah. This season's probably a lost cause for sure. But, going forward, you wonder whether there's a role there. Again, it depends how many picks you have next year.
Did he have a bigger year than Langford?
I mean, again, you're not cutting bait on Langford for obvious reasons. But again, you're going to welcome in 2 and 3 more rookies into the fold next year.
So
a lot of what we're looking at here is, who is there a role for? Is Javonte Green a classic 4A player where his athleticism alone will allow him to dominate against the back end of NBA benches, but he could never really do it in a way that he could be a meaningful rotation player, whereas you think Romeo could? Yeah, that's possible. But I don't know. I mean, these are things you're looking for in games like these where you see the guys just go out and play. So it's interesting to see, again, who shined in this competition. Anything left on this game, we can punt it forward. I'm not super interested in talking about Taco.
Brad Wanamaker, in the end, the net rating champion of the
Unbelievable,
NBA.
Right? I saw that graphic.
I mean, that should be the end. He should put that. I know he got into a fight with one of the Celtics blog writers on Twitter yesterday. I think he finally blew up at all the Twitter hate he was seeing. Our own Adam Taylor, who was supposed to join us here today, had to go make a dinner, do something else on England time. So, But, they got into a little squat. So Wanamaker's been seeing the noise, the bad vibes that Celtics fans have thrown at him. I think he just needs on his Twitter banner to put up that graphic, net rating champion of the bubble.
Again, it's the classic guy. He's a classic lunch pail guy. Not sexy at all. You're never like, oh, good, Brad's in the game. But he consistently gives you meaningful minutes. He's tough. You know, he'll go to the basket if he has to. He knocks down open shots. I mean, he's consistently.
And double figure scoring now. That was an underrated one. Rob was the story of the bubble. He was like 1A with the 10 points a game he was giving them up.
Consistent bench offense.
I think he finished with 10 points per game in this bubble. So, yeah. That's amazing.
Very impressive. You know, a couple small little season wrap-ups. It is interesting that the Celtics hold on 1 second there. One win short of last year.
That's why you wanted this one, right?
Yeah, so you wanted that. One win short. It is what it is. But the other thing I thought was kind of cool was that they had 3 20-point scorers, which was the first time that's happened to anybody since 1984, to an Eastern Conference team since 1984.
And what was Hayward? Probably 17, 19?
Around 16.
Like, he's right there too, yeah.
Hayward was trending towards possibly getting there before that kind of that setback in the season.
But I
think that that's a pretty impressive thing. Now we're looking ahead to Philly. So that's what we've got. First round. Brad's already talking about him right now. Kind of a subtle dig right now because he was asked a question about playing them without Simmons. And on the broadcast, they're saying Celtics in four, yeah. Celtics in five.
Whoa.
Pump it a little bit. Brad's comment about facing them without Simmons
Kyle
was, well,
Scal.
He goes, well, I got to tell you, they're the number one offense in the league when Simmons doesn't play. Ow. You know, that's a shot.
You feel like the Scals and Kyles of the world are throwing the, you know, whammy at the Celtics a little bit going into this one. And me too. I picked the Celtics in five in this one, just like them. And I'm worried because there's not a ton of tape of them playing without Simmons out there. You know, that's a Stevens thing. He's going to try to find the tape, the numbers of what they're going to look like without him. And they, you know, to Brett Brown's credit, have held that back. Once Simmons went down, they pulled everybody out of the last three games that they had. Yeah. So all of a sudden you're just looking at, like, you know, Raul Neto running the floor for them. And we didn't get to see them at all, what their actual game plan is going to look like, what their rotations are going to look like. So the Celtics are flying blind into this one a little bit. And on the other end, Philly got a good long look at what the Celtics are going to look like rotation-wise going into this one. My thing is, though, like, I look down their bench and I see some of the guys who are playing going into the series. Like, Korkmaz scares me a little bit because he can hit the three. You know, he's a guy who has exploded at times for them. But everywhere else on their bench, I just don't see the depth. I don't see the talent. I think there's going to be a definitive gap between, let's say, you know, Tatum, Brown are going to get legitimate matchups on the wing, but can Al Horford guard Gordon Hayward? I just don't know.
There's going to be Philly's going to need A-plus games from all of their best players almost every game.
Yeah,
that's where the Celtics can have, you know, some guy not have a great shooting night and still make up for it. Embiid has a bad game. I can't see what they can possibly do. You know, So again, this is a strange thing where you may put a ton of your focus there. And again, kind of goes back to what we're talking about. It's very clear from the trend of things here that Rob Williams has played himself into the rotation, possibly ahead of Cantor. But you and other people justifiably are terrified about the notion of Williams being the sole big on the court during any Embiid minutes. And that's going to be a hard one to pull off.
And that's going to be the transition for Rob from the seeding games, where there's been a weird amount of tanking by quite a few teams. We just saw the Wizards go 1-7 there. I don't think they went in with an intention to win at all going into this bubble period, even though they lost their seeding jump. I found out today that they don't go up in the lottery from all the losses they took. So what the heck? But there was a lot of weird stuff happening in the bubble is what I'm trying to say. And all of a sudden now it's going to be playoff intensity, playoff rotations, and defense. So does all of a sudden those Rob lanes to the rim get cut off in the first minute he's out there? Like, that's what we've seen every time, is him burst into the basket in the first 3 minutes he's out there and giving them 8 points. If those get cut off and then he misses a few of those, if he gets tagged with two fouls, we haven't seen him biting a lot. Joe Sway and I have talked about that a ton on here. First game against the Nets, he jumps into the crowd on the three-point attempt, and we haven't seen that since. So I'm interested in the pace of the playoffs. Rob's never played playoff minutes, has he? Not really.
I don't know. Nothing. Nothing meaningful. If that's true. But yeah, no, that's going to be interesting. It's you know, get in there, big fella. So yeah, I mean, I think you're going to pick your spots there. But it is. I mean, can you see a scenario in which he comes in at the 6-minute mark of the first quarter of any of these games? I don't know. That'll be a major trust thing for Brad, you know. And you know, if you do bring him out there and he's on a super short leash, does that destroy his confidence at that point? You know, so.
Yeah, they're going to have an interesting choice whether they go with Cantor 6 minutes in or Rob 6 minutes in. And honestly, I would go with Rob because the rotation they built, I think, is a good one. It's Cantor extended out for a period against Embiid, and then those short bursts of Rob where you can get a bit of scoring there, where you can get a few plays on the defensive end. Like Rob, it doesn't feel like there'll be any opportunity where he's going like 6 straight minutes in a playoff game. It's just going to be like those 3-4 minute bursts maybe.
Yeah. And that's probably, you know, where it's best. So again, you'll see how that first game kind of unfolds with the Simmons-less Sixers team. And it is interesting. We don't have the schedule yet. We're hoping to get it by tonight. Who knows? I mean,
it's going to be Monday or Tuesday.
But yeah, it looks like Monday or Tuesday. The league said games could start as early as Sunday.
Yeah, and, I was just going to say they should. Yeah,
because they want that national slot, and you know that Philly Boston's got to be one of the more intriguing first round matchups. You know, so it, you know, I'm interested to see where that goes.
Could be that Sunday afternoon game one.
It's possible. So we'll see, and you know, we could be back here then. If not, you know, we'll keep you guys informed, and obviously we'll be here after every game with a cast of thousands. It'll be the playoffs, so everyone's going to want to bite at the apple.
Yeah, Bob, we enjoyed our time today.
I know. Bobby's been a consistent contributor throughout, though, so I think you're the only one with perfect attendance.
Yep. I mean, these are the games I love watching that nobody else does. This is what sets me apart, right? Yep. Loving the Rob and Waters minutes. That's
there's
me.
Things there's stuff to be gleaned from this. So
yes.
We'll keep it short because again, this game isn't huge. We'll have a ton of Garden reports coming out later. We'll talk about a few things, including Brad Stevens' extension. We'll talk about the Sixers. We'll look at the entire NBA playoff picture. We might even hand out some postseason awards. We'll see how that goes. So
no Celtics on the bubble, all bubble team, which is too bad because a couple guys made decent runs at it. I feel like
they did. I think if Tatum doesn't get a 2-for-18 to start, you know, and then Jaylen the way he started, you know, certainly would have been in play. But you had some people just with ridiculous performances.
Out west, that battle, like
Luka,
every day,
Dame. Oh my God!
I think about it almost every day. Like even just us as a company. We're so lucky the Celtics are in the East. Yeah. Like it is the good life out here. Like it really is like World War II out there on the West side.
It is. But again, you know, if you look at it, you know, with Philly at full strength, I'll put Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, Boston, you know, and even Indiana at full strength up against most of the Western Conference teams. And you wouldn't feel that any of them are outmatched. It's just it's the 6, 7, 8, 10, you know, when you get below the fifth or sixth teams, and again, the Heat have been pretty solid too, but when you get below six in the Eastern Conference, the West has some talented teams that are kind of fighting in there for that 8, 9, 10, 11. So
is this the time to change the playoffs? Because the play-in format didn't work this year. I mean, Washington, what are they even doing here?
I don't know.
I think I'm ready to see some wild card. For a couple years, I held out and was like, all right, like Brooklyn, Orlando, is they're going to make the playoffs here or there? But every single year of getting teams like that in the postseason, I think I'm done with that.
In the NHL, when they split to divisions, okay, I like that idea of it was 3-3 instead of 4-4, and then the other two were wild cards of best overall record in the conference. I think you could try to find a way where that works a little bit better. But again, there's no way to do it.
Travel makes it tough.
There's no way to do it without going cross-conference the way the NBA is set up. So it's a bit tougher. And then where do you place that team? Do you take the lowest seed in the West and put them against the team with the best overall record if they happen to be in the East? So could you have Portland-Milwaukee first-round series? Would be a really tough one. So
yeah, you might have to split up like the amount of home games there a little more unevenly. But you know, they got to think about it.
Start with a 2-3-2, you know, but it would be goofy.
Yeah, it just stinks. I mean, this year, especially when they were open to experimentation. Zion, we talked about it like for the last 8 games. He's going home and – you know, I don't even know who's left on the Nets, and they're a 7 seed. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. You hate seeing teams like that in the East.
Oh, the Bucks are gonna slam the Magic's head through the rim and then sit for a week. It's gonna be ridiculous.
You hate seeing that team. It's a waste of a playoff spot. It is. Yeah, you're right. What was Washington doing here at all?
Thomas Bryant wanted to be here today. That was, he was the only one.
Oh my God. But it's true though. I mean, you're talking about, you had only two teams out West that weren't worth a shit, you know, like were worth nothing. That's it.
Yep. They all look great. And the Suns,
Minnesota and Golden State are the only two who were absolute bottom feeder status, and everybody else could play against anybody else on any given night.
I was so wrong about this too, because I didn't think the 8-seed race would be all that important, but all of a sudden the Suns, who have some legit stars, like people who, like, if you ask someone on the street who Devin Booker is, I think they know who he is at this point.
Yeah.
He's probably going to miss the playoffs after this 8-0 run. Like, they just mathematically are, and that hurts the league. It really does.
It does, but I mean, again, it's, you know, you're looking at, you know, kind of the beyond with a player like that, you know, and with Booker, yeah, and Aiden and Oubre, you know, and our main man Aaron Baines. Mm-hmm. It's a talented team. I mean, your Booker elevated himself to a different level. Booker went from a guy everyone was saying he can shoot but not much else into like a, wow, this guy is a really dynamic all around, you know, player. So
we'll have another off season and brainstorm that. So
yeah,
playoff time. Let's go.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Like I said, more stuff coming up later. Thanks to Bobby for his perfect attendance through the 8-0 run. Celtics wrap it up 5-3 in the bubble, 48-24 on the season. Number 3 seed in the East, taken on Philly, possibly as early as Sunday, most likely Monday or Tuesday. So we will see you guys.